Praise God. I'm excited this morning, you know, listening to all the pastors have been preaching the past few Sundays on heroes of the faith. I'm going to conclude this morning and I'm going to talk about Daniel. So let's all stand. I only have one verse this morning, but several verses that we are going to go, it's found in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 2. And it's so short that I want you to memorize this today. Can I hear an amen? Amen. We're going to have a memory verse. Amen? So, okay, so let's say it together. Every man's way is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. Proverbs 21:2. Okay, one more time. And with the help of Noreen, we're going to remove a few. Okay, look at it. Okay, one more time. Every man's way is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs our hearts. Okay, one more time. We're going to remove. There you go. One more time. Let's go. Every man's way is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs our heart. Amen. One more time. Let's remove more. Okay, there we go. Right. Proverbs 21:2. Okay, one more time. There you go. Are you ready? Go. And now I believe in speaking in tongues. Some of you are like, okay, last time, let's remove everything. Okay, can you do this? Okay, there you go. One, two, three. Amen. Now, I'd like you to go to someone you don't know, okay? Okay. Okay, and memorize this memory verse, okay? Find someone, come on. Go around, find someone. We're going to memorize. It's not just in Sunday school, but today. Okay. Okay, all together, out loud. Okay, we can all be seated, but we're going to memorize this. One, two, three. Proverbs 21:2. Every man's way is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs his heart. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. Praise God. You just memorized one verse, okay? All right. Praise God. That's good. Every Sunday we're going to do this. This morning we're going to talk about integrity. There is a demand for integrity today. There was a couple who came to a local Kentucky Fried Chicken store to buy a bucket of fried chicken. The store manager decided to place the day's earning inside a regular bucket to hide it from a string of fast food robberies in their town. But one of the uninformed staff members accidentally gave the wrong bucket with all the day's money in it. So when the couple arrived at a nearby water park to enjoy their bucket full of fried chicken, they were surprised to discover there were thousands of dollars in that bucket. After much deliberation whether to take the money or not, the guy decided, let's go back. Let's return all the money to the local KFC store. Upon the return, the working staff sighed in relief after the misfortune that happened earlier. But they were also thrilled to meet this extraordinary couple who were honest to return the money. And so the store manager decided to call the local press to let the community know this commendable act that they have done and to give them a reward from this well-known franchise. But the guy gave a sheepish response to the offer. When pressed to say why, he quickly replied, "It's okay. I don't need any press release because the woman I am with is not my wife. And I don't want my wife to know." Man, too close and also too far. There is a demand for people to live a life of integrity. Last year, a Harvard graduate and a Huffington staff writer named Jen Seo, Harvard graduate, is living the dream as a millennial. She was a writer who blogs about food, about staying healthy, and her newfound passion for running. In 2017, January, at Fort Lauderdale, Florida, she ran the half marathon. She came in second with a stellar time of 1 hour and 21 minutes. I mean, it was her debut run, and yet she already podiumed. And all her followers were just like liking her and giving all the accolades. She's living the dream. The writer, she had her blog with thousands of followers. She's a Huffington Post writer. But one wise photographer saw that actually she cheated and her Garmin watch did not match her finishing time. It turns out the reason it sounded too good to be true is because it was actually all a lie. Jane had cheated in the marathon by cutting the course. As a blog post in the marathon investigation would later prove, she confessed to her crime, but she was disqualified. Not only that, she was fired as a writer. There is a demand for integrity. From student papers that are not citing sources, to Hollywood and the rising leading men accused by the Me Too movement. Great names like Bill O'Reilly, Kevin Spacey, Matt Lauer, even the benign comedian Bill Cosby are now exposed because of integrity problem. There is a demand for integrity, even in the sports industry. A man that I adore as a cyclist, Lance Armstrong, who used performance-enhancing drugs, to a famous duo, Milli Vanilli, who won Grammys for singing, only to find out that they were actually lip-singing, and they were not the real singers. The church community is not exempted either. A recent famous pastor, whom I also adore, resigned in the Midwest from his mega church because of inappropriate behavior towards the opposite sex. Another famous scholar that I follow and watch on TV and watch on YouTube has been exposed for claiming he has a PhD in Cambridge when actually he didn't have. He doesn't have to claim one. He's already a scholar. And yet he wanted to have more titles after his name. He was soon exposed because he was not a PhD graduate in Cambridge, but only a visiting professor. The dictionary defines integrity as follows: the quality of being honest and having a strong moral principle or moral uprightness. This is the most common definition of the word integrity. I think everyone knows that. However, the root meaning of integrity may surprise you. Integrity comes from the Latin word integrare. Say it with me, integrare. It means to make whole. Integers are whole numbers. We use the word integrate to combine all the parts and make it into one whole. Integral calculus means to remove all the fragments and put them all together in one calculation. Integrity then means wholeness. A person of integrity is one who is whole in what he says and what he does. In who he is as a being and who he is in his doing. It also means the entirety of who he is in public and who he is in private. These two things are not separate, but they are whole. That is what integrity means. And so this morning, let's look at an integrity and a Bible case of that person. Now, we can look at a lot of men and women in scriptures. It is full of examples of wonderful men and women who live a life of integrity. But I want to use Daniel this morning because he lived in an environment similar to what you and I are facing. A world that is different from his background. He was a Hebrew. He was an exile from Israel to Babylon, where their religion, their God, their laws, and their system were different than his background. And yet, he lived a life of integrity. Tomorrow, you're going to go back to a real world, a world that is different than the world that you are in today when you worship God. It's a different world. It's a different system. It's a different conversation. It's a different worldview. And how are you going to live that kind of a life? I'm going to look at Daniel this morning, and you will be surprised of how he stood and came out a man who was stellar in his integrity. I find about six things this morning that I discovered about his life of integrity. Number one, he placed priority in his integrity and in his credibility. Look at Daniel 5, verse 11 to 12 with me. And here's the situation. There was this writing on the wall. A lot of people tried to interpret it, but they failed. But they remembered one man who was unique, not only in his talent, but unique in his character. Follow with me as we read this narrative. In verse 11, the Bible says, "There is a man in your kingdom who has the spirit of the holy gods." In another translation, it means who has an extraordinary character or spirit. In the time of your father, he was found to have insight and intelligence and wisdom like that of the gods. Can you imagine that? Your father, King Nebuchadnezzar, appointed him in the chief magicians, enchanters, astrologers, and diviners. He did this because Daniel, whom the king called Belteshazzar, was found to have keen in mind and knowledge and understanding, and also the ability to interpret dreams, explain riddles, and solve difficult problems. Call for Daniel, and he will tell you what that writing means. Daniel placed priority and integrity in his life. He was described as a man with extraordinary spirit, not just talent, but his character. This was due to the fact that Daniel made integrity a priority of his life. And with the passage of time, integrity was his reputation. He demonstrated his integrity by not eating foods sacrificed to idols and worshiping the idols and the gods of Babylon. Secondly, his enemies could not pinpoint any fault against him. Now, because he was appointed and promoted because of his wonderful talent to interpret dreams, some of the people were envious of his promotion and his position. And so they tried to look at his background and scrutinize him and scan him and try to investigate about his background. Daniel chapter 6, verse 4. Let's see if they will find one. Bible says that this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds. This was people who were supervisors, people who were also his colleagues. And the Bible says that they tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel and conduct in government affairs, paperwork, his attitude, and how he conducted himself. But they were unable to do so. Look at this wonderful verse. They could not find any trace of corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt or negligent. Finally, this man said, "We will never find any basis or charges against this man." So they could not pinpoint anything against this man. Now that's integrity. In fact, if you're a person of integrity, you know what? The first thing that people will do, they'll trust you. And this is what happened with Daniel. The Bible says they could not find corruption in him because he was what? Trustworthy. Number three, his prayers was the secret of being wholehearted to God. You look at this in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, earlier, it says, now when Daniel has learned that the decree has been published, he went home upstairs to this room where the windows were open towards Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he has done before. Now, these were not three more prayers, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. He was not in his dining table. He was in his room. The word of God says, there they found Daniel worshiping God, asking God to help him. This was his secret of integrity. Why? Because that time spent with God was a time where he can be wholehearted, where his heart and God's heart eclipse together. And he reflects the character and godliness of God in his life. Can I hear an amen? Being a disciple of Christ, one of the things that I did as a new convert was to write a journal. And the first page of my journal is this column that says yesterday. And it was full of confession of the decisions I made the day before. My conduct, how I drove, the things that I said, the things that I failed. And through that, I come before God and beg his mercy and covering and forgiveness. Now, this was Daniel. He comes to God and prays, and God directed his steps and his order. And as a result of that, he was godly, and they could not find any fault against this man. Can you say amen? Amen. He prayed. As a result of this, he was constantly closer to God. Number four, he was prepared to pay the price for doing what is right. Now, this is the biggest challenge when we start to live a life with integrity, is when you begin to pay the price for telling the truth, for being honest, when you don't make what? Large profits because of your honesty. You have to pay the price. The word of God says in Daniel chapter 6, verse 21, Daniel answered, may the king live forever. He was thrown into the lion's den. And Daniel said to the king, my God sent this angel and he shut down the mouths of the lions. But look at this verse. They have not hurt me because I was innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, my majesty. He was able to pay the price. One scholar, in preparation of this sermon I read, he said, the lions could not eat Daniel because he was too much backbone. Can I say amen? They could not eat him. Why? He was just too much backbone, too much foundation, a lot of integrity. That's why he was able to stand the test. Can we give the Lord a clap offering now? Because of this, God used Daniel's circumstance and situation so people can now worship and praise God. Because of this, the king declared, King Darius wrote to all the nations and all the peoples of every language on earth. He said, may you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. Wow. For he is the living God, and he endures forever, and his kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. As a result of this, Daniel's stellar character was used for people to be drawn and to worship not the God of Babylon, but the God of Israel. Hallelujah. You want to be a Christian? Don't just put the label, you know, of being a Christian. It's not about the music that you play. It's not your playlist. It's not the sticker that you put on your car. It's the life and the character that people see in your workplace, in your neighborhood. Amen? In your relatives. Hallelujah. In the restaurant that you ate. It's how you behave, the driver next to you or the waitress in the restaurant that you're going to visit today. That's how we live. And people are drawn because of our testimony. In number 6, Daniel chapter 6, verse 28, he enjoyed a life of prosperity. Can you imagine that he served four different kings in a span of 43 years because of his wonderful character? He was number one priority. I have yet to hear someone, you know, the people, regardless who is the president, regardless if he's independent, Democrat, or Republican, but they will get this person, not because of party affiliation, but more so because of his character and integrity. Can I hear an amen? This is Daniel. Four kings. In close to about 50 years, he served this different administration because of his integrity. That is why he was successful. That is why he was prosperous. That is why God favored him. Not just because of talent, but because of integrity in his life. Hallelujah. So why is integrity important? Why did Daniel have to do that? Number one, integrity is important because God looks for people with integrity. Look at 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 4. When Solomon was about to be chosen, God chose someone not because of their looks, not because of their talents, primarily, but because of that character of integrity. 1 Kings 9, chapter verse 4. As for you, if you walk before me faithfully, there's that word, what? Integrity in your heart and uprightness. As David your father did, in all I commanded and observed my decrees and laws, I will establish your royal throne over Israel forever. As I promised David your father when I said, you shall never fail to have a successor on the throne of Israel. This was said to Solomon, but it's sad to say that he was not able to keep up because of what? Integrity. But God is looking for people who has integrity. Job chapter 2 verse 3. Satan, you know, tested God. He said, I want to test you. And he said, find me the most righteous person above the earth. And it happens to be Job. But look at the description. Why God chose Job. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. And he still what? Maintains integrity. Though you incited me against him to ruin without any reason. God looks for integrity. And when you have integrity, God can use you. Now, not only God is looking for integrity, the world is looking for integrity. Matthew chapter 22, verse 16. The people went to Jesus. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. Teacher, they said, we know you are a man of integrity and you teach according to the truth. You are not swayed by others. You are a man of integrity. This world is looking also for people of integrity. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 12, the Bible says, now this is our boast. Our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves in the world and especially in our relations with you with integrity and godly sincerity. This week I was talking to someone. I happened to know her and the next thing I knew, she was the director of nursing in this hospital. And I asked her, you know, how did you get the job? You were just here for less than a year. And she told me what happened. She said, you know, a few weeks ago on Wednesday, they called me. They investigated a case. And when they called my name, I was so scared. But she said, I performed my job well. I treated the wound rightly. I knew my care was up to standard. I don't know why they called me. And then she went there, handled the case with different people, you know, investigating. A few hours later, she was called again. And she got scared even more. I said, What happened? And she went there again and handled the case and all the interviews and all the case. Then she was called a third time. This time, no more investigating. They told her, we would like you to become the director of nursing because you handled the case very well. It was just all a test. Here's a person, you know, who knew that there are no skeletons behind the closet. He handled it, and she got the job because the world is looking for people of integrity, of people whom they can trust. And lastly, why is integrity important? Because we live confidently if we have integrity. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9, the Bible says, whoever walks in integrity walks what? Securely. But whoever takes crooked paths will be found out. Now, can you imagine if a supervisor will call you? We have an 11 o'clock meeting. I want to talk to you privately. Man, that is probably, you know, like... Now, if you've done something, you will walk crookedly. That's what the Bible says. You know, some of you don't know this, but I have a second name. My first name is Alan. My second name is what? You don't know, huh? My second name is Paul. It's named after a missionary who actually shared the gospel to my parents. Paul. In Filipino, Paul. Nobody calls me Alan Paul. Only my mother. And when she's really mad, with thick Filipino accent, Alan Paul. When I hear that name, I'm scared. Alan Paul, that means I did something wrong. Can you imagine someone calling you? You know? If you are guilty, if you have done something wrong, you'll be scared. But a person with integrity walks securely, confidently. Amen? Have you seen Denzel Washington walk? That's a famous walk. You know, like... You can walk confidently when you are a person of integrity. Amen. Say it with me again. Whoever walks with integrity walks securely. Praise God. So if you nurture that, if you cultivate that, whoever's going to call you, whether it's the IRS, whether it's the supervisor, whether it's the police department, or maybe the INS, you're not going to be scared. Why? Because you walk with integrity. Can you hear an amen? Give the Lord a clap offering. Or even if it's your wife, where are you? You walk with confidence, knowing you are a person of integrity. So as I close the sermon this morning, how do we apply this in our lives? Let me share with you three or four quick things this morning, how we can apply this in a very practical way, the implications of integrity in our lives. Number one, cultivate convictions in small things. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 25, verse 21, his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with what? A few things. Therefore, I will put you in charge in many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Cultivate those small things. Nip it at the bud. The small things, the small habits that you think, you know, will not create any problem. Here are a few things. Let me just test you. Do you find yourself forgetting the promises you make? Are you usually late for appointments? I'll be there at 10. Do you came 11? Do people sometimes remind you what you have said to them? Do you often go for practical solutions rather than start from fundamental principles? Do you compromise quality over profit? Are there things that you do which you would not do if you know people are watching you? Are there things you have borrowed that you haven't returned yet?
Maybe that book in the local library.
Hello? Small things. Are you avoiding someone because you owe that person money? Hello? Okay? When Pastor Ed says, greet one another in the Lord. Oh. Do you find nothing wrong to account small things and money? Do you just round it off? Or do you do every single cent? Do you always tell your employers to finish the deadline, but yet to fail to do so? Small things. The Bible says, I will put you in charge because you had been what? Faithful in small things, the little things. Number two, take care of temptations. 1 Timothy chapter 6, let's start with verse 10 and then verse 11. Here's the big one. Bible says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Now this is the verse. But you, men of God, flee from all of this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. So flee away from temptation. Just because everyone's doing it, don't follow them. Dave Ramsey, and I'll be teaching this class in a few weeks from now again. We're going to have, you know, another class for this summer. He says 15% believe, 15% among Americans believe that they have cheated in their income tax. 15%. Now, let's continue. 53% knows of someone who cheats the income tax. Now, sometimes I hear like, that's your refund? I can't believe it. Why? Because I don't earn that money, but I don't get that much refund. I hear it. 53%. That's more than half of us know someone who is cheating. 25% knows a family member who cheats in their income tax. He says that the major reason why the housing problem collapsed in 2008 is because people bought homes they could not pay. We buy stuff we do not need to impress people we do not like. The temptation to walk out from the house because of a mortgage nearly doubled, you know? And so people walked out, sold their homes, not because they actually have no money, but they didn't have integrity. This is what Dave Ramsey said. The moment you sign there, you've signed with financial obligation, with your character and your promise and your integrity. I'm sharing with you as a testimony when we bought our home in 2005. Praise God, we sold the home just a month ago. We never missed a single payment. When everybody in our church, in my previous church, were like, you know, leaving and selling their home, but not because of financial distress, because it was the easy way, it was a shortcut. We held on. Even if our mortgage nearly doubled, we just cling on. Why? Integrity. That's why our economy failed. Hello? Flee away from temptation. And praise God, by clinging on that promise, God blessed us. Can I hear an amen? Number three, remember real character is who you are when no one is looking around. Now, together with me, this is our memory verse. 1, 2, 3, Proverbs 21, verse 2. All together. Every man's way is his own eyes. But God, the Lord, but God weighs the hearts. Remember, real character is who you are when no one is looking around. One time I was in the, long time ago I was in the airport when the cell phone was not yet, you know, used at that time and it's everywhere. People use phone card. I was there at LAX and I went there and I saw the phone booth and there was this credit, $47. I knew there was a card there
$50. And it has a balance of $47.50. I look at my right. I look at my left. And the temptation was there. Finders keepers. But what if I take it out? And then suddenly John Quiñones from ABC. Hi, my name is John Quiñones. What would you do? What's your profession? Oh, I'm pastor from Charisma. Hello? Honesty, integrity, credibility. I place that there. Amen. Even if no one was looking around. Lastly, keep a clear conscience always. Acts chapter 24, verse 16. In view of this, I also do my best to maintain always a blameless conscience, both before God and before men. Amen? Keep a clear conscience always. When you know there is conviction, when you know, just tell the truth. One time, I was in a rush. I had a call as a pastor in East LA in one of the hospitals. As a pastor, I was called. We have someone that we need a pastor. We need to pray and before this person dies and share the word of God. So I went there in my rush. You know what? I made a left turn. And I knew in that intersection, you're not supposed to make a left turn between 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock. And it was about 4:06. I made a left turn in a rush. And suddenly behind me was this, you know, light. I said, oh man, I blew it. And the police, you know, stood and I said, sir, you know what you did? And I told him honestly, I said, I made a left turn. Look at my watch, it's 4:06. It's okay. And then he looked at my badge, chaplain. He looked at my front of the Bible and anointing oil. He said, are you a minister? Yes, sir. Are you a chaplain? Yes, sir. And he gave me a salute. He said, go. Are you going for a patient? Yes, sir. That hospital right there. Go. You need my help? No, I'm good. This happened 2 times. And I just admitted my fault. And yet, keeping a clear conscience always. Amen. We have a few more minutes before we open this altar for prayer. I want to conclude this morning with a story that I'll never forget. I was a young minister. And while I was a young minister, I was called to be a witness to a pastor who fell from grace. He was in charge of a ministry for children at risk. He was an engineer in aviation and left the profession as an engineer and became a pastor, good friend of mine. He was a director of a ministry among children at risk. He denied the accusation of inappropriate behavior. And while the reports and the charges were piling up, he continued to deny, and even his wife supported him. And so finally, the charges were getting, you know, bigger and bigger, and more people reporting about his behavior. So we had no choice but to confront him. And in that confrontation was the missionary who was overseeing his ministry. And then our district superintendent, the sectional superintendent of the Assemblies of God, and then me. I don't know why I was there. Apparently I was there because I will have to help this guy in his rehabilitation. It was so hard, it was so painful because he was my friend, he was my colleague. And then we opened up and there's a pile of reports from children who told about his inappropriate, no, there was no sexual intercourse, you know, but there was touching involved. It broke my heart because we supported this guy. Broke my heart. Successful man, but became a minister. And when we opened up and about to read the first report on that pile and folder of charges, he looked at us and said, "I accept all of the charges and it's true." And then the next scene is something I will never ever forget. He took his minister's license, like what I'm holding right now. This is just plastic. But this plastic is character, integrity, credibility, respect, and all that we worked for years. And when he handed that to us, to our general, to our superintendent, he shook and cried. I couldn't. I said, man, the cost of one failure. I could not contain, went behind him and I hugged this guy. And I said, "I'll be with you, man." Left his post. The next 2 years, we went through the program of rehabilitation. I'm happy to tell you that he's doing fine and he's doing good. Amen. Hallelujah. But today, as you listen to me, you have your own card. Maybe a photo of your family. Maybe it's a degree. Maybe it's a position. Hold on to that. And God will bless you the way God blessed Daniel. Let's all stand. Hallelujah.